Press TV headlines: Israeli soldiers kill another Palestinian in the besieged Gaza Strip. Hezbollah says Israel's role in Hariri's assassination has been ignored. Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei calls for greater unity among Muslims. And Italian protesters stage massive anti-government rallies in Rome. It is 2000 GMT and 10 p.m. in Gaza. This is Press TV's World News. Well, Israeli forces have killed one Palestinian in the Gaza Strip. Reports say the Israeli troops opened fire on the man near the Erez crossing. There are also reports that Israeli warplanes flew over the area at the same time. A few days ago, Israeli warplanes bombed a district in southwest of Gaza, injuring four people. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip come under regular air and ground attacks while they're already under Israel's crippling siege for years. Remaining in the Gaza Strip, the cross-border tunnels are being used to export goods to Egypt. The tunnels below the border with Egypt have provided a lifeline for Palestinians in the Strip, and now they serve another useful function as all export out of Gaza is banned under the Israeli blockade. From Gaza, here's Yusuf Al-Hayou.
Israel began allowing consumer goods into Gaza after its May attack on a Turkish aid ship, but it still blocks all exports from the territory, imposes a complete naval blockade, and severely restricts the movement of people. The ease on the siege led to a slump in the volume of goods entering Gaza through tunnels, but now they serve as a conduit to export goods to Egypt. Items such as scrap metal, fruits, and vegetables are now on a reverse trip to Egypt through the same tunnels, which were used to bring basic humanitarian needs into the territory.
Because of the decreasing demand for Egyptian goods, many tunnel owners have struck deals with Egyptian traders to export some goods from Gaza via the same tunnels. The tunnel business is in decline and many tunnels have closed down.
With recycling infrastructure in Gaza largely limited to the production of cinder blocks out of cement aggregates, iron and scrap metals collected from the rubble of the last Israeli war on Gaza, and continued airstrikes hits through the tunnels to Egypt for processing, the scrap is sold to Egyptian merchants in exchange for iron bars or other construction materials. According to the United Nations, the 22-day Israeli war left more than 50,000 homes, 800 industrial properties, and 200 schools damaged or destroyed.
Egyptian goods, mainly foods, brought from the tunnels from the Egyptian side are on the shelves. Since the easing of the siege, people buy goods imported via border crossings. We cannot find buyers for Egyptian goods.
Traders say that the tunnel trade has become less lucrative compared to its height between 2007 and 2009. When Israel's siege on the Strip was very tight, salaries for workers have gone down from $100 a day in some cases to an average of $25 a day. Estimates say that the number of operating tunnels has decreased by 70%, with Egyptian officials saying almost 600 tunnels out of 2,000 have been shut down since the start of the year.
Gazans say unless they are not able to export their goods and produce and import raw material for industrial units, any hope of long-term improvement in the overall situation in the Strip is not realistic. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
Well, Hezbollah's Secretary General has lashed out at an international tribunal investigating the 2005 assassination of the country's former premier, Rafiq Hariri. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah says the tribunal is considering false testimonies and has refused to take evidence provided by the Hezbollah into account.
We want the truth. Will the international investigation lead us to the truth, the UN investigation? Before the holy month of Ramadan, I gave my evidence regarding the possible Israeli involvement in the Hariri assassination. Mr. Belmar took this evidence from the Lebanese judiciary, and he requested more information, more evidence. Let's assume I don't want to present this evidence now. Let's assume I don't have any more evidence. Let's assume what I have is only what I showed in the media. What I showed in the media, isn't this enough for Belmar to look into the possibility of Israeli involvement in the Hariri assassination?
Nasrallah urged the Lebanese judiciary to open the case of false witnesses and hold those who gave false testimonies accountable. He said the United Nations is protecting those witnesses. He also called on Arab nations to prevent the issuance of indictments against Syria and Hezbollah. Nasrallah said he will soon hold another press conference to present more evidence about alleged Israel's involvement in the killing of Rafiq Hariri. The ex-premier was killed along with 22 others in a bombing in Beirut in 2005. Closer to home now, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the Muslim world is in urgent need of unity. Ayatollah Khamenei accused the Zionists and the Americans of making attempts to pit Muslims against each other through religious, sectarian, and racial differences. He said Islamic nations and governments must vigilantly recognize the significance of cooperation. Ayatollah Khamenei also slammed most Islamic governments for failing to respond to the Palestinians' call for help. The leader made the comments in a meeting with officials in charge of the annual Hajj pilgrimage. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says Iran and Cuba are obvious examples of successful resistance against the U.S. Saeed Jalili says the resistance by Iran and Cuba has also proven that sanctions are a useless tool against independent nations. He was meeting Cuba's Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez Padilla in Tehran. The Cuban official said his country supports Iran in the face of the U.S. political measures and economic pressures. Padilla earlier met with Iran's Foreign Minister Manuchehr Motsaki. The Cuban minister criticized some countries headed by the U.S. for politicizing Iran's nuclear program. He condemned sanctions imposed against Cuba and Iran and called the move a failed policy. Iraq's prime minister has called on all rival parties to join him in a national unity government to end the impasse following general elections.
We call upon all Iraqi political blocs and parties to be united and set direct negotiations, not through media or satellite channels or from outside Iraq, but here inside Iraq to talk. And it's natural that we will have differences. Definitely we have differences in how to form the government, and it's a good thing, but we must agree upon each other.
Nouri al-Maliki says there will be no end to the seven-month impasse without flexibility and readiness to act in a realistic way. Former Premier Iyad Allawi's Iraqiya bloc says it will not hold talks as long as Maliki is candidate for prime minister. Disagreements between leading Iraqi parties have left the country without a prime minister since parliamentary elections back in March. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Israeli soldiers kill another Palestinian in the besieged Gaza Strip. Hezbollah says Israel's role in Hariri's assassination has been ignored. Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei calls for greater unity among Muslims. And Italian protesters stage massive anti-government rallies in Rome.